Hey, everybody. Welcome back to MTRadio.net. I am Danielle Agnew. You are listening to The Soul with my co-host, Roy Pack. And we're going to kick off this hour, talking about mass hysteria. And this one I'm actually really looking forward to because we just got done on Sight Unseen talking about what happens when we buy into chaos. And actually, Roy's on his way to the studio right now. And I want to talk to Roy from a psychological perspective about what he thinks about mass hysteria. We're seeing so much of this right now in the media. We're seeing it all over the place, in fact. We're seeing it with the Ebola scare. We're seeing it with, my God, we're seeing it with anything from the client I had with aliens. And there is actually a psychology behind mass hysteria, which I find to be fascinating, but I don't know how realistic it is spiritually. Darkness uses mass hysteria as a distraction. And the choice to buy into hysteria, of course, is our own. And we don't necessarily want to go there, but people do. So from a psychological standpoint, Roy, what do you think about mass hysteria and why is it so prevalent right now?
I start out with saying I think it's totally hysterical.
You want to start out by saying it's totally hysterical. All right. Yes, you can. Absolutely.
God, this is kind of interesting because we had some discussion about this last night on one of the other shows and have talked about this a little bit more on how mass hysteria starts, what happens. And the bottom line behind it is fear.
Fear. Yep.
Literally, you know, not to sound cliche, but fear mongering through the media. That's what gets people's attention, gets them riled up, and you see that on all the different news programs and things like that, and they get this fear going, and they have a perceived threat, and once they get everybody to buy into that perceived threat and create the fear, then they want to take action on it.
Right.
And you get this mass hysteria. Now, that's not to be confused with things like movements. Movements are a different thing. You know, when you look at the 99% and the Occupy movements and things like that, that's not mass hysteria.
That
is a movement. There's something very, very different. The hysteria, it's definitely fear-based. It's something that comes from fear and people just propagating the fear. And our media has gotten really good at that. When's the last time you turned on the news and watched a feel-good thing on the news?
I don't even remember ever last time. I don't really know when I did. Actually, I can't remember last time.
I can't remember it either. I'm really drawing a blank on that, and it bothers me. It totally bothers me. Well, we just had a ghost pass through the room, by the way.
Did we?
Yeah.
We
did, yeah.
Whoa.
It brought us food.
I was going to say there was a lovely ghost who just brought pizza. That's fabulous. Thank you, lovely ghost.
Our lovely ghost drifted in and back out and brought us pizza for the show.
Well, that's sure nice.
So the whole world gets to have dinner with us.
That's great. I love that story.
Yes.
I love that story.
What a great ending to mass hysteria. Let's have pizza.
Let's have pizza.
And dinner.
That's right.
And
pizza
the whole
Wednesday.
World can join in.
That's most awesome.
The other thing about the mass hysteria is one thing that it lacks, and if you've ever been in a situation where that hysteria is starting, whether it's in your office place, offices are notorious for this.
Oh, God,
the whole
yes.
office will get caught up in turmoil and drama and chaos and things like that, and the mass hysteria will start. Once that gets started, the one thing that's lacking from what everybody says, does, thinks, and their motivation is love.
Yes. And why do you think that is?
You know, it's love is something we have to be consciously aware of, I think, a lot of times because we are so programmed by everything around us in the media and everything else to look in all these other directions. Love's a touchy subject to talk about. It really is. It's one of those things, you know, that growing up, it's sitting down and learning how to love. That's something we're not really taught. We're not taught in school. Hopefully our peers and our parents and our family teach us that. In traditional extended families, we learn it there.
Right.
And we
right.
learn how to love.
Sure.
And that's something that you learn how to do rather than falling into out of control. That's lust.
and can be past lives and chemicals and pheromones and all kinds of things.
All kinds of things. But that love gets taken out of the equation. If you sit back and you look at the hysteria that's going on in your office or your institution that you're working in, or, you know, whatever other job you have, your community, your family and all that, if there's a mass hysteria going on, I want to say kind of like the lady that called in just a little bit ago, I was listening to the show.
Sure.
She had a mass hysteria going on in her family. If everybody in the family were to step back for just a second and say, let's just love each other for a minute. Think about that. Wrap your brain around that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, wow, that is taking the fear equation out. Mm-hmm. Because love and fear, when we're talking spiritual physics, cannot be in the same place at the same time.
No,
it is
not
possible.
They cannot. Fear is definitely the absence of the love, and love will not allow fear into it.
That's absolutely right.
There's just no room for it.
No, there is not.
There's no room for anger. There's no room for hatred. There's no room for anything. When you start looking at things from love, empathy, and compassion, then you start creating a movement for yourself, for others. You can even do it as a group.
Sure.
You can do that. So, yeah, that's the long, drawn-out answer to your
question. Well, I was kind of hoping for a long, drawn-out answer. I was, you know. If you guys are listening tonight and you're finding that you have a difficulty expressing love in the face of fear, or even accessing your love center and falling into chaos instead of love, give us a call. We got some tools for you. That's area code 406-545-4496. Again, that's 406-545-4496 on mtradio.net. Roy, one of the things that I was finding so weighted about this week was, again, as I touched on in Sight Unseen last hour, is how quickly we are going to shootouts verbally with people. We are annihilating people verbally and asking questions later. And of course, from a spiritual perspective, from the physics of this perspective, this of course is fear. And people are doing this because they feel they need to protect the self. And their way of protecting the self is eradicate first and then ask questions later. From a psychological standpoint, however, when you just open fire with a machine gun, and that is your tongue, and those are your words, and they're hurtful, there are huge emotional and psychological ramifications for that.
Oh, man.
There are, right? I mean, it gets heavy.
Where to begin with that? I don't even know where to begin with that. Man, looking at some of the research and how things have changed. And I'm old enough to remember how things were back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, things like that. When we still talked to people face-to-face. That was our primary form of communication.
Right, right.
I remember going out to my grandparents' ranch and having a party line. You know what? You didn't say anything in that party line that you didn't want everybody in the valley to know.
Oh, yeah. And explain for those people who don't understand what a party line is, what a party line is.
A party line, if you get out into rural America in the, you know, in the 70s, even a few places into the 80s, you had one phone line that would run through, say, an entire valley for 20 or 30 miles. And everybody had their own phone number on that, and you knew if somebody was calling you by the ring pattern that came in. It might be one short, three long, and you knew that was your phone call. You picked it up. But the thing is, everybody else on that party line could pick up the line and listen in at the same time, and quite often did. They were bored, didn't have anything to do. You couldn't get TV out there. There wasn't much in the way of TV back then. You know, one or two stations. So that was entertainment for some people.
Oh, I'm sure. Pick it up and listen, man. Pick it up and listen. Woohoo.
You know, you didn't have any secrets. So right. That was kind of the way it was. People were a little more conscious about what they said to each other. They were a little more conscious about the implication of words. Words hurt on a deep level. You know, to be quite blunt, in school or whatever, you know, I can take an ass whooping. No problem. And
sure.
Give one too. It's physical. It goes away. The words that people say have a lasting impression. jump into, and I started seeing this in the 90s. My son and his friends kind of laughed because I was the first person they knew in all of Billings that actually had internet.
Oh, right on. You know. I remember that, 1996.
And yeah. I remember starting out with AOL. You've got mail.
Yes.
Yeah, things like that. Now, here is the beauty and the downfall of, I want to say the downfall of American social interaction as a result of that you've got mail and everything else. I could say anything I wanted to you and there was no repercussions, none whatsoever, because I was safe behind this white box, this CRT monitor. And if I didn't like your reaction or what you had to say back, all I had to do is close the window.
Right, right.
I didn't get punched in the face. I didn't get chewed out. I didn't have to stand there and take it or anything like that. So there are people, and I really see this, I hate to say this, I see this in our children a lot. And by children, I mean anybody under the age of 30. Okay, so I'm an old fart. I've got kids that are 30 and graduating and graduate school and everything else.
Right on.
Yeah, children is 30 and under these days. But that repercussion for your words isn't there anymore. You can say whatever you want online. That's the primary form of communication, whether it's a chat or anything else. If you don't like someone's response to it, you just block them. You delete them as a friend.
Right.
You close the window, whatever. So people have gotten very open about saying very negative, hurtful things. And that's kind of where this... In response to what you said, it's not really an explanation. I'm just saying, here's what's happening. If you want to explain it, write a dissertation, go out and do the research. This is great grad school stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
And go for it. But what I do want to say out of it is get out and talk to somebody. Talk to people face to face. You know, it's kind of like the whole... I'm going to go out on a limb here. Hopefully I don't offend anybody. The whole cyber sex thing. No, I prefer the old fashioned analog method of plugging it in directly. You know, I don't want my interactions and my things going on in cyberspace electronically. And here's the reason why for me. Of all of our communication, and research has shown this time and time again, you can go out and look it up and look at all the research and what if you want to. I'm not going to quote it. I don't have time for it. 93% of all communication is nonverbal. 7% is verbal. Now, whether you're aware of this or not, when you sit and talk with somebody, your emotions, your reactions, your perceptions are based on the things that you see nonverbally in that person.
Sure.
The dilation of the eyes, the expression of the face, the shape of the lips, the way they hold their body, the way they hold their hands, all their actions, all that. That's 97% of the communication with another person.
Yeah, that's true.
When you're doing this online, all that's gone.
Right.
Now, that doesn't even get into the whole other side that they don't look into with research, which is, you know, reading energy signatures, working with energy, feeling or being aware of someone's aura and the energy that they give off, what's going on with them spiritually, things like that. That's a whole nother 100%.
Sure it is.
Over there.
Absolutely.
That you do not get communicating behind this box where people... have the privy of saying anything they want to say. No matter how good, bad, or indifferent it is, they can say it. And there's no consequences, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, they might have someone come back and say, you know, you're a jerk, or I really like that, or something like that. But they're still missing that emotional part. Maybe they had something to say to someone that if they'd went and said it to them in person, they'd have got a great big hug.
Absolutely. How about all the physical, like you pointed out, we are missing the physical, you know, and when we're dealing with hugs and touching, I mean, that triggers chemicals in the brain. And when we're dealing with the spirituality of connection, one of the biggest tools that darkness has, that chaos has, that dark has, is to create an illusion that we are cut off from one another. Mm-hmm. Thus, actually, from a spiritual perspective, dividing it into the us and into them. And there's where we can get the mass hysteria going because we've got too much fear and not enough love. And so if you really think about this, we're getting to the point technologically where it's the same blessings that would allow me right now to check the Facebook page to see if any of you are actually posting about the show. I can't because my phone died. But if that same ability for me to connect with you also then becomes an impetus for me to never actually physically connect. And one of the difficulties I found with people is that we are so quick, we've become such a junkie for an immediate response that when we don't get the immediate response, we freak out. There'll be people that I don't really unfriend people on Facebook. Although if somebody does get too crazy with the, how come you're not talking to me? Well, I see you're commenting to so-and-so and you're not commenting to me. I will unfriend that person because that is an obsessive personality and an energy signature that I can't deal with. That is too emotionally oppressive. But because we are so used to having an immediate response, I text you, Roy, you text me back, or if I text you or whatever, and then you don't hear from me. As Facebook is a huge, huge experiment in immediate needs gratification.
Yes.
Good God. And I will have people, actually there was somebody who I did unfriend many years ago who wanted a response on something, and I didn't have time to respond. It's a social media site, you guys. Okay, lighten up. It's Facebook. I hate to tell you, and I didn't have time to respond. And I got the nastiest, insane letter. This individual paid attention to who I was responding to in comments, and then said, "Well, you took the time to talk to," and they named the people and said, "But you wouldn't even answer me back." And I just was like, "Unfriend. Okay, your daddy didn't hug you enough. I can't help you." Because the immediate needs gratification, the self, the spiritual physics of that are self-absorption greatly. And as you stated earlier, we have lost the reality of connecting with somebody physically. Or here's my favorite, and I'm going to bat this over to you in just a second here. My favorite is, I'm too busy. Now, yes, we are all busy. We are all very busy. I get that. Today for Wednesday, as example, I have a very full reading day. It starts at 10 a.m. I get off work. I barely have enough time to come from my clients to the mtradio.net studios. Today, you had a very full day, Roy, and you and I got here at the same time. So the I'm too busy has become code for, in my opinion, either I am honest to God too tired, I don't want to, or I am unable to connect. Your thoughts?
Wow, that's another one that's really vast. I do that quite a bit. There's times when I will go through Facebook and there's, you know, I use Facebook strictly for my marketing.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Period. I've got people that I stay in touch with. I comment on their posts and things like that because I want them to know that I still care about them.
Well, sure.
And, you know, care about what they're doing on a professional level. When we want to discuss something on a personal level, I'll throw them out a private message. They're like me. In a week or two, I'll hear back.
Yeah, well, exactly.
In a week or two.
That's kind of where things are at right now.
Sometimes I get the, dude, I'm really swamped right now. I'll call you after I'm done cutting this album. And, you know, a month later, I'm like, did you get that album done yet? Almost. I'll call you on Thursday. And on Thursday, I get a phone call.
Right.
You know what? My life's not going to end if they don't get a hold of me.
Right.
It's not going to end if they don't get a hold of me. There's times I'll roll through Facebook where I just literally don't have time to respond to people, comment back, things like that. I'll put up what I need to put up on Facebook.
Sure.
People will comment on that. I do feel somewhat obligated to respond to some of those comments.
Well, sure.
And I'll respond to those comments. And for the most part, it's business. Facebook is not my life in any way, shape, or yeah, it's not my life. You know, my life it seems pretty foreign to some people and pretty strange at times. I mean, today I went out and I'm helping a friend of mine out, put a new roof on his house. And this is part of my life, you know, working with my friends, helping them out, doing stuff and whatnot. And I walked on the job in the morning. I did what I had to do in the morning on the way there. When I got there, I shut my phone off. I shut it off.
That's fabulous.
you know, then what I'm doing is he had a lot of hail damage on his house. I'm tearing off the roof. So I crawled up on the roof, and the first thing I did was I stood there and I looked out off of his roof. Well, he lives in this beautiful place, and you've been there. It's on the Stillwater River, and right there at his house, the river takes a split, and one little channel comes right over by where I was at. And again, he's built a nice zip line to go out to an island out there.
Oh, beautiful. And, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Throughout the day, when I would get stressed or tired or anything like that, I would just stop for a minute. I didn't even sit down. I just stood up, and I just looked out there at that, because that right there is where life is happening. That is where I see life happening. Life's being created there. Life is flowing there. It's moving there. And you know what? It just doesn't really care about all this stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't care how many likes you have on Facebook. The Stillwater River is still going to roll.
So. No, it doesn't. Now, on the flip side, we had to take off and go get some stuff over in Reed Point and drive over there and pick up some logs and whatnot. We're timber framing in some stuff. And he starts asking me on the way, because he's got a business and he doesn't really use Facebook or anything else. And he starts asking me, well, how do you really use this? How can this enhance my business? And we spent an hour and a half talking about Facebook.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, talking about it.
Talking face to face about Facebook.
About Facebook.
Okay. Very important part of the story here.
And how to use that. How to use that. Remember, people, this is a social media marketing tool. That's what it was designed as.
And it was designed
networking.
Yeah, and it's designed to data mine people to sell to advertisers. I mean, really, and the benefit of that is we get to stay in touch. I mean,
so
really.
The question is, do you want to sell your life to them? Do you want to sell your persona? Do you want to sell your most intimate secrets to the rest of the world? Because if you're sharing them on there, guess what? You just gave them away. You sold them. And someone else is making money off of them.
That is absolutely true. Yeah. If you are a Facebook-aholic, if you're a Facebookaholic, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. Area code 406-545-4496. That's 406-545-4496. Or if Facebook has gotten you into hot water here and there, give us a call. Actually, give us a call about anything we've been discussing. We'd love to talk about it on mtradio.net. You're listening to The Soul with Daniel Agnew and Roy Pack. I'm the psychic. He's the psych major. Breaking down for you here the dynamics of not only fear-based chaos, but the lack of human connection and how that happens and what happens to us when we lose that connection. And again, going back to the idea of I'm busy. I run into this difficulty, and I'll own this. This is an issue I have when I run up against this coming out of people's mouths. And the issue I have is that people will say, I'm busy, I get. That's cool. Call me when you can or don't or whatever. I got a busy life too. We'll hook up whenever. It's not a big deal. But the thing that kills me is when people get so self-absorbed that they decide that their self-absorption takes priority over common courtesy. Now, that's different from being busy, because honest to God, there are times when I simply cannot respond on Facebook, or maybe I could, but it's like literally the only half hour in that day when I have 2 seconds to sit there and stare at the wall. And gang, I love you, but I'm going to stare at the wall. I have entities and angels and elementals and off-worlders and people's dead relatives talking to me 24/7, including humans who are alive and on the planet. And if I get half an hour, I'm going to stare into the wall sometimes and just be like, oh my God, that's awesome plaster. But that being said, there is a self-absorption I find in people now. And I think we have given ourselves license to be this self-absorbed because of our media, like you talked about, the disconnect. And what I'm noticing spiritually it's doing for people is we think we are giving ourselves license to, well, I'm just having a tough day, or I'm just needing to process this, or okay, that's fine. Those are all fine that we need to do that and take the time. However, when that becomes a pattern and we get irritated with other people because the world is not stopping to let us process or to let us be in our own space and our own thing, that is an imbalance. And I have watched people thinking that they're actually liberated in this behavior. And the fact is they are trapped in it because they can't get out of the head. They can't get out of the heart. They can't get out of the mind enough to strike some balance with the exterior part of their life, which is their work, their friends, their family, their partners, whatever. And they think they are making it and getting away with some big boon here by being into themselves. And actually, they are cutting themselves off from the largest spiritual feeding source they could, which is connection.
You know, it is. Can I? I want to quote Albert Einstein here.
Oh, cool.
Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's insanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We cannot keep doing the same exact thing over and over.
I'm gonna throw some out there, though, that we need to really watch for. Given that everybody's been sucked in to this social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of those, and Google+, but you hear the most about Facebook. The one thing that does kind of make me nervous is when people are in crisis and they're feeling isolated, that's what they'll do to reach out.
Is do Facebook or Twitter or something.
And you hear about people that do these horrendous things in the news. Well, they posted about this on Facebook, or, you know, people who commit suicide. Well, they posted about it on Facebook. I hear this kind of stuff all the time in the news. And I remember back in the day when I was feeling like I was kind of in crisis. There's a really cool coffee shop here in town. I went down there and hung out, and I'd throw it out there to those people what I was in crisis about, what was going on for me. And I would get feedback from a whole bunch of people. And by the end of the night, I had a whole bunch of solutions.
Right.
They were given to me face to face using all of our communication skills. You know what? I felt better.
Right.
I felt better at the end of the night. You know, it kept me from killing some of my professors in college.
Well, that was kind. That was kind. Always be kind.
Yes.
Always be kind.
But, you know, that's the thing that really scares me, is those intimate personal things like that, that I read about in the news that come out on Facebook. And, you know, and those are things that people should be sharing with their family, their loved ones, their spiritual advisors. Go speak with your pastor, something.
Right, right.
You know, go speak with a psychic, anything. Somebody face to face, you know, sit down, let them hold their hand, you know, and go for it from there. You know, it's kind of, you know, there was a guy that wrote a really cool book years ago called Toxic Psychiatry. And then the subtitle below it was Why Love, Empathy, and Compassion Should Replace the Use of Psychotropic Drugs in Today's Therapy.
Wow.
And
that's heavy.
Oh yeah. He,
whoa.
He almost got his license taken away to practice as an MD. It was a psychiatrist that wrote the book.
Wow.
And they tried to take his license away in New Jersey and everything over this book and some comments he made on the Phil Donahue show. But he really did hit on something there. Love, empathy, and compassion. Here's the thing. We got to be somewhat vulnerable to give those things.
Yeah.
And giving those things and being okay with being somewhat vulnerable. You know, you still can turn around and walk away. That's within your power to do. Go ahead and be vulnerable.
Yes.
You know.
And allow someone else the opportunity to give to you. Mm-hmm. Karmically speaking, guys, it's not just about what we're getting, what we're learning. It's a part of our karma, or our universal lesson is to give as well. And if we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable to another person, we don't give that person an opportunity. First of all, we don't get the opportunity to receive, which is huge. And we don't give someone an opportunity to give. And it is a vulnerable place. You know, I'd like to make a distinction about a comment I made earlier. It's very important that we allow ourselves the time to mentally process, to take time for ourselves, to take personal time that's very important to us. These things are very important. Mm-hmm. And this is about personal development. When the addiction to the self and the isolation becomes such that we have no more room for anyone else's input but ours. We can't handle anybody saying anything to us except for our own belief system. And we absolutely can't stand anybody in our space and anything if it's not on our pace. You know, that could all be a lot of things, from narcissism clear on down to an anxiety disorder. But if it's that far sideways, that is taking personal pacing and personal space and timing to a dysfunctional degree.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritually speaking, that is the dynamics of separation. Once we separate, we begin to degrade, because spiritually we are intended to remain connected. Even if we have to take a break from our loved ones once in a while, but we are always spiritually intended to remain connected. The minute we stop doing that, we degrade. Our health degrades, our physical sense degrades. We have a lot of issues. So yeah, it's a bad deal. All the way around.
I got the squeaky chair tonight. Did you notice that?
That's okay. It's all good. We like the squeaky chair.
Here's the thought that kind of runs through my mind when we think about this. And this kind of goes out to all the parents out there. Who do our children learn this from? You know, that's a very serious question. And this is something that it goes back to, where do they learn about relationships from their parents?
Yes.
Where do girls learn about positive male role models from their dad? Where do boys learn about positive female role models from their mom? Where do they learn to have this kind of communication and this kind of connection and their spirituality from their peers and their parents that are around them? So that's my challenge to all the parents out there, is to learn these things and, you know, learn them again.
Learn them again, yeah, absolutely.
Learn them again, please. And teach your children, you know, teach the next generation these things. I grew up with these because we didn't have anything social media or anything like that. And it's kind of interesting how it's changed. I mean, I remember my grandma saying, "Hey, it's nice outside. You kids get out of the house, go play." You
know, I remember that.
Come back. When was the time you had to be home? When the street lights came on.
Yeah, that was it. When the street lights come on, you're supposed to be back home.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Society's changed so much now that if you told your kids to get out of the house, "I don't want to see you till the street lights come on," you might possibly get them taken away and criminal charges pressed against you.
Well, exactly.
You know, that's a very high possibility. But the other things, as far as the spirituality, the communication, things like that, those are very easy things to role model, and role model them for your kids. What you're going to wind up doing is start role modeling them for everybody else. And one of the funniest things I've seen is, I had a friend that was in a PSYOPs in the military, and he worked part-time wilderness therapy with me, and I taught him to use this deal called the feeling statement.
And very nice.
Work with the feeling statement, and there's a format to it. It says, "I feel," and you state the emotion, "when," and "when" is the event that's connected to the emotion. And then, "I feel this way because I think," that's why you think the event's connected to the emotion. And then the really crucial part, "my hope for myself for the future is," and that's gotta be something you yourself can control realistically.
Right.
What you can control. This guy started using it with his platoon. He was a platoon sergeant.
Holy cow.
And he's like, "Are you kidding me?" And I said, "Go try it. Seriously. I was in the military. Go try it. Give it a try." You know? And, you know, you don't have to use the whole drawn out thing. Just get them to say how they feel about something, and then quiz them on it. "Well, you feel that way when?" And he come back 3 weeks later, and he's like, "I've got the tightest platoon in the company."
Yeah, because they got to actually have a conversation about how they felt.
And this was PSYOPs. He was in PSYOPs division.
And which would be, what is PSYOPs?
Psychological operations.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd think they would be teaching them that on some level, to just get in there and, you know.
No, they teach them to hand out soccer balls to kids and build wells and things like that, and then give them guns and tell them how bad their own government is and take it over so we don't have to, but that's PSYOPs.
Oh, nice. Really nice. Talk about ultimate dust against them. God.
Yeah,
wow.
The fun stuff.
Yeah, really, really the fun stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys are listening tonight and you're finding that you could use some tips, you got an impasse, you're at a crossroads with your own communication, with your family, with your friends, give us a call, area code 406-545-4496. I'm Psychic Danielle Agnew. Psych Major Roy Pack is my co-host here on mtradio.net. We're discussing the dynamics of chaos communication, groupthink versus individually looking at one person one-on-one and actually being able to have some incredible conversation with individuals. The art of conversation is interesting. You know, and we rely on our digital media for a conversation, as we just to recap quickly, with Twitter, with Facebook, whatever. I mean, I'm as guilty as the next person with this, with going on and scrolling through some top headlines and just kind of looking at what's the news that day, if I'm in a hurry or whatnot. And the thing about that is that if you're not paying attention to the URL that the message came from, you can get some pretty jacked up news that has absolutely no basis in reality. And where I find this is interesting is because we have now lacked the face-to-face communication. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is we're passing this stuff all over the web, saying, "Oh, yeah, well, guess what? There's whatever it is. Ebola is going to take over the whole wide world," which it's not, by the way. But we pass this around because somebody's histrionic post on a blog was passed as news instead of an opinion. I thoroughly am going to watch the news, actually, in the next 2 weeks to see where it pops up that Vladimir Putin has dementia, just because I happen to mention on the show that I have psychically looked over and seen early onset dementia with this guy. I am psychically looking at that. There is no news that states that. There is no medical doctor that came forward and said Vladimir Putin has dementia. Yet there will be people who would, if you will, take that as news and spread it as news. That's my observation of his mental prowess or lack therein. So what we're doing is we're taking something, it's almost like we are creating our own reality to a great degree. And in a way, this is really interesting spiritually, because one of the big upsides of our virtual universe is, like you said, for some people, they're reaching out in crisis. And for some people, I know people with severe health problems, and that literally is their social life, because that's the only way they can get out and interact. And that's cool too. However, from a spiritual perspective, when we are losing connection with the reality, like you said, standing up on a roof looking at the Stillwater River saying, this is what's real, that is life. When we're becoming too inside the mind, and spiritually so in the matrix of our own thought process, and nobody, there's no Samuel L. Jackson offering us one pill or the other, we have to pull ourselves out of it and figure it out. When we get to that point, we have lost touch spiritually, emotionally, intellectually with the flow around us, and we are literally creating our own universe. Now, on one hand, that's kind of cool spiritually. On the second hand, you're going to get into problems because you're the only one living in that universe. Mm-hmm. And then we have horrible misunderstandings and assumptions, which, by the way, Roy, just so you know, October 4th, just a recap for everybody listening to The Soul Tonight who came over, those of you tuning in just now who did not hear the last program, sight unseen, we do have a Mercury retrograde starting October 4th going through October 25th. And the name of the game for this retrograde is going to be misunderstanding, assumption and misunderstanding. So make sure that you clarify a lot with people, especially since we're talking about Facebook and Twitter and all of these weird options that there's no emotionality behind them. None.
Yeah. God, I don't know how many times I've posted something or commented on something, sent them a message, something like that, and it was totally misconstrued. Yet I know if they'd been looking at my face, they would have understood exactly what it was that I meant.
Well, of course they would.
That I wasn't joking, that I wasn't being angry, or that I was being sarcastic or something like that. I mean, those are the things that we get. How do we know someone's being sarcastic? The nonverbal cues. Those nonverbal cues. That's how we know where they're being sarcastic for the most part. Unless they come right out and say, you know, or it's so blatant that it's obvious.
Well, exactly. I mean, if somebody's being really around the bend. Don't you find it's interesting, especially from a psychological standpoint, that we will assume someone is making fun of us? We will assume the worst before we assume the best.
I hope they are.
You hope they're assuming the worst?
No, I hope they're making fun of me.
My God. Well,
if they're taking the time to make fun of me, and pay attention, people, if they're taking the time to make fun of me, I must be really important to them.
Isn't that the truth?
It is.
Isn't that the truth?
And I find that rather amusing.
What is the deal with people jumping automatically to a defensive conclusion that someone doesn't like them or that they're making fun? Where does that come from?
Oh, again, who knows? Insecurities, back to the fear, things like that. Then there's the flip side. Me, I personally just don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. You know, the people that like me are around me. They invite me. The people that I like, I'm around them. I invite them. We work together on things. The rest of the population out there, you know, it's just white noise for the most part. You know, there's so many different levels of relationships, and, you know, there's professional relationships, people I work with professionally, people I work with individually, people I work with on a personal level, people I'm with on an intimate level.
Sure.
Sometimes those cross boundaries all the way across. I may be working with someone on every single boundary, you know, or every single issue like that. It may be professional, personal, intimate, social, all of it. And I may have that kind of a relationship with the person. It can be just about anything. You know, there's so many different types. Everything is a relationship.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how long it lasts. It could last 5 minutes, one of the most poignant moments in my life was a relationship that lasted about 3 hours with someone on a bus. And the highlight of it was saying goodbye to that person. And we were going separate directions. To this day, I don't know that person's name. It was one of the most impactful things of my entire life. All we did was talk. That was it.
The power of connection.
Yeah. It was the connection. And it wasn't just a connection that was physical. It wasn't just talking. It wasn't just friendship. There was something else that happened there that was amazing. I've never forgotten it. And I know this other person hasn't either. It was really something intense. And that there's your relationship. What kind of relationships do you want to build? You walk into the store, you pay for your food, and you've got a relationship with the person checking out your stuff.
Right, right.
You know, the checkout person. I had a really negative relationship with one of those people the other day.
Oh, no.
I was trying to be helpful, and I got chewed out by this nasty, wretched woman.
How did you really feel about her? I'm just saying.
For trying to be helpful. She was just a miserable person and wanted someone to take it out on. After it was all over and whatnot, I just kind of walked away. I wasn't angry or nothing. I'm like, whoa. And then afterwards, I was kind of like, you know, I'm kind of glad she took it out on me because I probably saved the next person in line.
Well, and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to react to stuff like that. No. Because you are, I mean, I've known you many years and you and I've had copious conversations about other people's reactions. And as I've gotten older, especially in the spiritual work that I do, there is a dynamic where I can see it on people now. I mean, physically see it. They're fighting with themselves. They are fighting with themselves. And people hear this. If you're, especially in these big chaos environments, like we opened the hour with, and the caller last hour on Sight Unseen, who was talking about their family, you know, just kind of eroding into this miscommunication. You guys, if somebody comes at you with an agenda to chew your keister off, okay, they are fighting with themselves. If you are trying to come into resolution with an individual and the person that you're trying to come into resolution with is still, again, fighting with you no matter what you're trying to do, and they're still fighting, they're fighting with themselves. They are using you for as a walking, talking visual aid to pin their insecurities, their inner anger, the issues that they have inside of themselves onto you like a paper doll, mm-hmm. like an outfit that doesn't work. And then they're going to sit there and harangue on you the whole time. And when this continues to happen, you have one of two choices. Spiritually, I will see this erupt and I will see this person just unwinding in interior. And I'm looking at them thinking, oh my God, I'll actually say, whoa, this has gone really sideways. I don't even think we're talking about the same thing. Why don't we talk about this later? And if somebody's just still on it, you know, mm-hmm. it's obviously not about me. And if I choose to continue to stay there and hang in with this fight that has nothing to do with me, then I become part of this person's scenario. I become part of the fight. So I think there's a lot of discernment spiritually in knowing, hey, did I really do something? Am I a tool? Are you calling me out? Or are you fighting with yourself? And why am I choosing to become part of your chaos?
Exactly. And it's so easy. Like in that situation, I totally took the person's power away from them. Because I turned around and, I mean, it was just, it really was. It was a horrendous interaction at this convenience store trying to get coffee. The coffee machine wasn't working. I used to own one of those coffee machines. I was going to open it up and try to fix it and see what was wrong with it and help the person out and everything else. And I just got totally reamed for it. And I just turned around, looked at the lady and said, I'm sorry. I was trying to be helpful. I know these machines really well. And that was all I said, regardless of anything else she said. And when she got done fiddling with it and unable to fix it, didn't even know what to do, I didn't bother helping or anything else after that. I went and got my coffee, paid for it, and left and told her to have a nice day and gave her a great big smile. That was not the reaction this individual wanted.
Well, no, and obviously...
at all. She wanted to drive me down. She wanted to demean me. She wanted to, you know, she wanted me to cause the kind of... She wanted me to have the kind of day that she was having.
Right. Pass on the yuck.
Yes, and I'm not going to do that. And you see people quite often, and everybody asks me, he's like, God, why do they do all this stuff? And why they try to bring everybody else down? Well, people that are down and feeling down will try to bring other people down to their level to normalize that. That way they don't feel so bad about being down because they look around and everybody else is down with them. So it must be normal and it's okay.
Absolutely.
And I don't allow people to do that. And this is a conscious thing that you can do, people. You can do it on a personal level, an emotional level. You can do this on a spiritual level. Don't let people bring you down. Stay where you're at. Keep moving forward. Keep moving ahead. Once in a while, you're going to get down. Reach out to your friends. Reach out to people that can create a positive influence, a positive environment for you, and keep moving forward and ahead and moving up. You know, it's the lady, where is the lady from that called in with the family just had a meltdown and everything?
Actually, here in Billings.
Here in Billings?
Yeah.
I would like to hear from her again. I've got a suggestion for that situation that might help avoid it in the future, but I don't want to say what it is on air or anything. It's a wonderful little communication tool that I think the family could really use. So if you're still listening and you want to know that, give a call. I'd be glad to share it with you, and you can take it, leave it, use it, don't use it, whatever. I will give it to you, though, and you can have it. It's yours.
That's right. Give us a call at area code 406-545-4496 here at mtradio.net. A brief shout out to all the other programming that we've got on mtradio.net. This is fantastic programming out of Montana, reaching worldwide, reaching all over the place. We have some amazing, amazing talent on this station, and it's wonderful to be a part of that. It's wonderful to be a part of the messages that are out there and that everybody's spreading. It's fantastic to have callers. It's wonderful to have a radio station that will just actually allow us to get on and talk about material that's not what I call packing popcorn for the mind. A lot of what's on mainstream media, and that's, of course, my background, doing psychic work in mainstream media. And there's a lot of wonderful people who work in mainstream media. However, its format overall is about packing popcorn. It's about something to keep you distracted. And as you said last week, Roy, programming you for an outcome. So here at mtradio.net, it's fantastic to actually get an opportunity to speak to everybody else out there. Most people don't have packing popcorn between their ears. They have functioning gray matter. We are missing that in our day-to-day activities and in our reaching out. I'm going to turn our subject just a little bit to waiting for some folks to call in, not that we're waiting, but I feel people listening out there today. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot of people just sitting back and listening, and that is fine. If you guys want to listen, that's great. If you have things you want to share, please do call. My thinking here is that as we're discussing all of this, what we're talking really about, the bottom line of it is to connect or not to connect. Do we connect with fear? Do we connect with chaos? Do we connect with love? Do we connect with the self? Do we connect with one another? Mm-hmm. And one of the overwhelming battle cries I hear in my practice is people are nervous because things aren't happening quickly enough for them. So they will come see someone like me and ask me, well, what do my angels have to say about my work trajectory or my, you name it, whatever it is. What do they have to say about this? And the one thing that I can tell you about this is that, and then I'm going to ask you for a psychological tip that you can give people on this. But one of the things that I noticed is that we have lost the ability to allow the universe time. Because I believe strongly, everything is so virtual. If I have a problem, there's an app for that. If I want somebody to reach out to me, I'll post it on Facebook. If I want an immediate response, I'll text a list to see who hits me back. I need. We have lost a realistic trajectory for how long it takes. We are part of a larger system, you guys. We've lost the realistic trajectory for how long it takes for the universe to put everything into play for the good of the whole, not just us, not just our needs, but the good of the whole, which then benefits us even greater. And because we've lost focus on this, I'm noticing what I call it the 13-year-old syndrome, where people will be like, this isn't happening. It's not happening yet. It's not happening. Well, and it's very disappointing and scary when we're waiting for things to happen and it takes time. But we have forgotten we are only one cog in the wheel. We have become too insular. What would you call this phenomenon from a psychological perspective?
Oh, God, I don't even know what I would call it. I would say look back to anthropology, Aboriginal cultures, even locally here. You know, people joke around about being on Native American time. I love Native American time. You know when it's going to happen? When it happens.
I love Native American time, too.
If I say I'm going to be there, I'll be there. Don't ask me when. I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
You know, and that's really the way it is. Immediate gratification. I started seeing that in the media back in the late 70s. And I started seeing a separation in the mid 70s from groups to an egocentricity about, it's all about me. You know, it's look out for number one. I mean, look out for number one was a slogan. I mean, it became a slogan. Look out for number one, not worry about other people. And that's kind of push things to a point now to where, yeah, the whole immediate gratification, I want this now. I mean, you know, if you're going to mail me something, what do you mean it's going to take 12 days to get here? I can get anything around the world in 24 hours if I want to, and you really can.
You know?
I mean,
absolutely.
You can get anything anywhere, 3 days max. What do you mean it's going to take 7 days? Why is it going to take 7 days? Well, because I don't want to spend $150 getting it there to you in 24 hours.
Right.
And you don't need it right now. Okay? Live with it. Deal with it.
Perfect. I mean, that's true.
Be comfortable with where you're at, what you have, what you've got right that moment, being in the moment. If you're not dying, if you're not getting hurt or anything like that, if your needs are being met, if you've got food, and here's your needs. I'm going to break this down for you. Real simple, people. Water, food, and shelter. Those are the only three needs you have. Everything else is extra. Everything else is extra. That's the only three things you need from outside your body is water, food, and shelter. Otherwise, I just got to point out air.
In air,
and
yes.
Air.
One needs
okay,
air. Yes,
four.
Thank
air.
You. Thank you, Sean.
Air. We got to have air to
over
breathe.
There. Yeah, absolutely. And you do need air from a spiritual perspective. We need, that's absolutely
And I
right.
don't need the newest iPod.
No.
I don't need the newest Android phone.
No.
I don't need the newest car. I don't need the newest, latest music that's being pushed at me. I don't need the newest TV program or the newest season of whatever. I don't need those things. I will not die without them.
That's true. That's true. And on the spiritual scale, on the spiritual needs scale, connection. We need connection. We need love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we
That's
need.
That's what feeds us. That's our food
That's
on
right.
that level.
That's absolutely
that,
right.
That is our food on the spiritual level, is that connection, that love, that compassion, those things. That's our food on the spiritual level.
Absolutely. So look how we are starving ourselves on the spiritual level in order to gorge ourselves on things we don't need. Mm-hmm. And it is unbelievable. We are starving ourselves, not connecting. We're starving ourselves, not connecting even with the self or the body. I mentioned last hour on Sight Unseen about the fact that, you know, I've started exercising this last year because I'm looking at myself at 45 and saying, I don't want my body to fall into disarray. Things aren't quite shaping up like they used to. So this takes a little more effort. And it wasn't that I was exercising to please anyone else. And I am certainly not trying to look like the hottest, you know, whatever on the planet, because that's not my goal. The goal was for me to feel as good as I could. And that's still the goal. And there's lots of people who are built way better than me. I am certainly not trying to have the flattest washboard stomach ever. That's not the point of fitness for me. It's a commitment I've made to the self, because it feeds me in that moment. And it's also an accountability issue. So of course, that is not food. It is not water. It is not shelter. It is connection with the self for me. So on the spiritual level, even though it's half an hour a week at Fit Body Bootcamp, but it's still, you know, I might do that three times a week, whatever, but that is connection with the self. And when we mm-hmm. lose connection with the self and we replace that with absorption with the self, then the spiritual dynamics go very sideways and darkness has a lot of opportunity to take advantage of self-absorption as opposed to self-connection.
I would throw this out because we're getting real close to the end here, aren't we? Are we, Sean? What have we got left? Oh, we got a little bit of time left, so good. I can ramble a little bit about this.
Fabulous.
Yes, I'm going to ramble just a little bit. Looking at those connections, other people, accountability, all that kind of stuff. You know, last week I kind of gave everybody a little deal. Go out and look at what iatrogenics is. Facebook is a huge iatrogenic disorder. Please go look that up, see what it means, find out what it is. It's creating it is an iatrogenic disorder, and it's creating problems in society. And to look back at what Danielle was just talking about, I would say go back to one of the early scholars and philosophers, John Locke, and take a look at his writings on the social contract. you know, what that social contract is, what that social contract means, and how it's changed. Your accountability to society, your accountability to yourself, things like that. And I wanted to throw something out that I didn't cover last week when we talked about accountability, because it seemed a lot of people keyed in on it. There's some key components to accountability. We talked about the first one, which was admitting whatever it is you did, right,
absolutely,
wrong, whatever, and
yep,
owning it. Admitting it, acknowledging it, making a commitment to change. Now, that doesn't mean not doing it anymore. If it's something good, that means making a commitment to change to do that thing more. If it's something negative that's hurting you or others, making a commitment to change and not do that anymore. Commitment, that's the key word. Commitment. There's steps to accountability. There's acknowledging it. There's expressing it to other people. Then there's making that commitment to change and sticking to it. And that's accountability. And it can be accountability for anything, anything that you do, you know, good if for yourself, for someone else. Something you screwed up, something you accidentally did right. I screw up and do the right thing quite often. You know, these days it's more than doing the wrong thing. I screw up and do the right thing and go, oh, wow, you guys like that? Wow, you know, okay.
That's hilarious.
No, really, that was a plan.
That's awesome. I love that. Screw up and people, hear my fine co-host, Mr. Roy Pack. Screw up and do the right thing this week, please.
Yeah, screw up and do the right thing and then take accountability for it and try to do it again, please.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there's your assignments and your challenges. Yeah, remember about iatrogenics. Find out what Facebook is really doing to you. If you want to know about how to interact with society and how society works, John Locke's a good place to start. He's not the final answer nor the definitive one, but it is a good starting point. And yeah, accountability for who you are. Know who you are.
And guys, what you are is who you are. I get this message all the time from people's angelic life. Mm-hmm. What you are is who you are. In other words, what you do is who you are. And we have this dichotomy of mental modalities where people say, well, I'm a really good person, or I go to church, or I'm a head of a church group, and I go home and I'm a horrible person to my family, or I'm a horrible person to my spouse, or I'm very verbally or physically abusive, but I'm a good person. Actually, no, you're someone who chooses a modality of abuse. You're actually an abuser is what you are. And what you are is who you are. So I know that sounds a little hardcore, but it's really true. And it's not meant in a nasty way. That works for beautiful things too. If it's like, oh, I'm this and I'm a flake and I'm this and I'm that. But what you go around doing all day long is giving people the shirt off your back. You're helping absolutely everybody. You're doing the best you can to make sure that there's people who don't have things have something. Then you actually are a stellar rock star who's very benevolent. You may have your faults, but what you are is who you are. So it's very important in the spiritual physics and of everything that we're doing to understand that we can have our grand plans and we can have our accountability, and accountability will actually keep you in line with what you are. Again, what you are is who you are, not who you are is what you are. It's the other way around. Our actions in this third dimension define us. And it's, you know, this whole idea that we are this, well, you know, I'm this really confused little thing on the inside, but actually I sit around all day and I don't really leave my house ever. And I, you know, never mow my lawn, but I'm really this amazing person. Well, I'm very happy that you know that about you. But the fact is, you're the person who's let your property go to pot. And now your neighbors are looking at you going, wow, thanks a lot for caring enough about the neighborhood to, you know, get out of the house once in a while. What you are is apathetic. So, it's not a bad or good thing. It just is. What you are is who you are. So just be very mindful of what you're doing. Be accountable in the good stuff too. What you are is who you are.
I have a solution for that. And I want to say, yeah, the letting your property go down, you lower the property values of everybody around you. They get upset. But not only did you lower the property values, but you lowered who they are as well. But I have a solution for it that's going on right now. It'll be going on for about another 20 days or so. It's happening for a month. Legos, people. Legos. Not the movie, the toy. Legos. If you're in Billings, Montana, go down to the Yellowstone Art Museum and check out the Lego art that is going on down there. When's the last time you've seen a Lego art? Really, come on. How can you not be happy checking out Legos turned into art for a whole exhibit? Legos. It's the key to happiness. You can create with Legos like nobody's business. You can create and you can play God all you want to do. You know what? When you learn how to play God with Legos and make things out of it and turn it into art like they have down there, guess what? God gave us the power of creation. Create your life however you want to create your life. That's your power today. Play God, please.
Amen, Roy. We're wrapping on that. That's awesome. And I'm going to go see that Lego exhibit at the Yellowstone Art Museum. That's awesome. You guys have been listening, of course, to The Soul with I'm Danielle Agnew, your psychic, and of course, your psych major, Mr. Roy Pack, here on mtradio.net. If you want to reach out to me, that's Danielle Agnew, E-G-N-E-W, -advisor.com. If people want to reach you, how do they do that?
They can reach me right here through the station. Call the station up and press the options, actually, either for the Earthship or for this show, The Soul, and leave a message there or contact me directly and get a hold of me that way.
Oh, that's fantastic. Is there something for Sight Unseen on there too that I should be announcing? Cool. Or you can call the station and press the option for Sight Unseen and we'll get back to you on that. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week here at mtradio.net. We will see you next Wednesday.